Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Monday night, April 16th at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene as my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, brought a word of encouragement at Celebrate Recovery.
Like my dad said, to the very end of his life, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. So this is a wonderful place for that to continue. I want to speak just a few moments tonight from a gospel story in the New Testament. It is in the book of Mark in chapter 5. And I'm going to read it, a few verses here, verses 24 through 34. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. Now, he's just been asked to come to the home of a local rabbi whose 12-year-old daughter is deathly ill. And so he's en route to that home. And before he gets there, that 12-year-old daughter will die. This lady who had been bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. The word there is robe or shawl, and I'll get into that a little bit later. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Have you ever thought in your life, I just wish somebody would stop the bleeding? Well, this is probably where that came from. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you asked, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." What an encounter. I have no doubt if the lady there in Capernaum, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, if she lived here today in our community, she probably would come to celebrate recovery. Because she was seemingly hopeless. Key word, seemingly. Hope has a name. It's Jesus. And things change when Jesus gets involved in our lives. This is just one story to prove it. Before I get into just a few points here about the story, Easter I made a statement, believing is seeing. And that really is the way faith works. The world says seeing is believing. But Jesus told Martha, just before he resurrected her brother Lazarus from the grave, he says, if you believe, you will see. You're going to see something pretty wonderful happen. So I want to tell you today that believing leads to seeing. And so we have to put our faith in Jesus. Faith leads to hope. So unless we have faith, we're not going to find hope. And that's why faith is so important. This woman had to first have faith in Jesus before she would find the hope of healing. And so she did, and she did. It's a beautiful story. Now, some people, they think Jesus was a little unkind in this story because he called this girl out. You know, why didn't he just let her you know, just go on her way healed. After all, he was the healer. And he was not unkind at all. He's too loving to be unkind. But I'm sure she was embarrassed. But I wonder if she really cared. She was healed. She felt the bleeding stop the moment she touched the hem of his garment, his cloak. But still, for those who would think that Jesus was unkind because he made a public spectacle of this private need, I want to tell you a little bit about this lady. It's true that she needed a physical healing, but that was not the only healing she needed. She needed a lot more healing. She needed mental healing. You think about 12 years of doctors, spent all your money, you have nothing left. How might that affect your thinking? And so Jesus was not just interested in her physical healing. He was, but he didn't stop there. He wanted to have a conversation with this lady. Not only does she need a mental touch, she needed an emotional touch. Can you imagine that day when she decided, I'm going to go out in public and I'm going to take a risk, see if I can get to Jesus? I'll tell you one thing she didn't lack was perseverance and determination. When you're desperate, you can't find those things sometimes. Can you imagine how emotional and nervous she must have been? You know, she's not supposed to be where crowds are. She's unclean. She could be thrown out of her community for coming out in the midst of everyday people. So she must have covered her head and, you know, no one knew who she was. And she was really in need of emotional healing. We know she must have needed spiritual healing. What little bit of faith she had left, she exercised it on this day. And in Scripture, Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And she had a mountain. And she needed spiritual help. She needed strength to believe more. But she took that little mustard seed faith that somewhere she found, she must have mustered it up. And she went and she looked for Jesus, right? She came. She came to where her last reach for wholeness. I'm sure she said, this will be my last opportunity. But she had heard stories about Jesus, see? By now, he had healed lepers, even touching those who cried unclean. So she knew that Jesus must be okay with who she was. Just by reputation alone, she said, well, maybe this Jesus is the hope I have looked for 12 years. And he proved not to be a disappointment. There's one more thing that we don't understand exactly about what Jesus did and why he did it. She needed to be healed socially. I said that she was an outcast because she was unclean. She couldn't worship at the synagogue. There were just places she couldn't go. And Jesus, by calling her out, he restored her to her community. So you see, I told you he's not unkind. And not only did he restore her to the community, he identified with her. Of all the things he could have called her, he said, daughter. How must she have felt living in a community that no one wants to have anything to do with her? She has no community, let alone family. But Jesus, on the way to a dying 12-year-old daughter of a rabbi, he ran into a 12-year suffering daughter of his own. God, I love this. Jesus claimed her as his daughter. You know, in Isaiah, it says one of the names that Jesus would bear would be Everlasting Father. We don't know how to figure all that out in our, you know, 3.5-pound brains. But it didn't stop him from calling her who she was. And he said to her, my gracious, what must that have meant? Yeah, what must have she had gone through her mind when Jesus looked at her? Oh my, what a day. And he said, daughter. And then that little bit of mustard seed faith that she had mustered up, he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. All of it. All of it. So he didn't heal her in private because she needed public restoration. She needed so much more. And he met all of her needs. And that one encounter. This is the cloak that is being mentioned in the scripture. This is a Jewish prayer shawl. And Jesus was a rabbi, he was a teacher. So he wore the uniform, you know. The only difference is his would have gone to the floor. But I just bought this for my own prayer purposes, and I'm not a rabbi. But after I show this, everybody who goes to the Holy Land, when I get there, they're like, where do you buy those? And you just don't want to pray when you put this thing on, something just changes your mind. And you might want one of these after I tell you about it. So, I don't have one for sale, but probably eBay does. This is the prayer shawl. This is the cloak that Jesus wore. And it identified him as a rabbi, as a teacher. And his disciples would follow him. Probably had a certain embroidery to it that set him apart as the teacher. And so he would wear this. Now, the Hebrew name for this is the tallit. Tallit, T-A-L-L-I-T-T. The tallit. It can be called a shawl. It can be called a cloak. It can be called a robe. Sometimes it's called. But it was part of the clothing that Jesus wore wherever he went. Now, these little knots on the end, these strings, they would drag to the ground on the one Jesus wore. These are called tzitzis. Tzitzis. And they have other names. They're called the hem of the garment. You've heard that. They also might be called the fringes of the garment. I think I have a slide up there that you can put up any time if you find that. This is the center of a painting that is in the chapel at Magdala on the Sea of Galilee. They have a basement chapel in this beautiful church built in memory of Jesus and also in memory of Mary Magdalene. And it also is in memory of all the women who followed Jesus when he was walking the planet. Can I just say it's the favorite stop for women on the trip. All the stained glass in this building is Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene. The list just goes, you go find the ladies in Scripture, and they're all going to be in this church somewhere. But in the basement, they have a beautiful chapel, and this painting, oh wow, it's like a wide shot, you know. It's probably 12 feet wide and, you know, probably 5 feet high. And when you walk into the chapel, it just takes your breath away. And of course, it's in memory of this story of the woman who had the issue of bleeding. And it shows her hand touching the hem of the garment. You can even see the shawl kind of turn and touching the fringe. Now, what I want to say about this is some people say, well, why didn't she just touch his arm? Might have been easy to get to. I mean, think about this woman who's having a problem bleeding. I'm not thinking getting on your knees, bending over is especially an easy thing to do. But see, there's a reason that she went for the hem of the garment. There's a reason that she had to touch the fringes of the garment. She knew her Bible. It pays to know the Bible. She knew the scripture. In the scripture, the last book of the Old Testament, so it would have been the scroll of Malachi, somewhere, somehow, she had heard a scripture. There's no doubt about it when you talk to Hebrew teachers about this story. She knew the Bible, and she took one verse, and she put all her faith in that verse, and that Jesus must be the prophecy. He must be the fulfillment of that verse. And I'll give that verse to you. It is Malachi, and it is chapter 4 and verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That's another word for once you encounter him, you will leave healthy. You will leave whole. I see there's a word in there that I haven't told you yet. These diseases, do you know what the Hebrew, what they call these? The wings of the garment. The wings of the garment. So she's sitting at home. She's seemingly hopeless. She hears that Jesus is about to pass by her house. She puts her faith that he must be the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm going to give every bit I have of my belief to him when he comes by. She had to get on the ground. Help me, Jesus. She had to humble herself. She crawled to Jesus on her knees so she could touch the wings of his garment. What a beautiful scripture. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Let me tell you, friends, if nobody else will, celebrate recovery is just a code word for come to Jesus. That's what it is. And it's good news for all of us. Because we have no one else to go to. He alone has the words of life. And we need no one else to go to. Because he is life. And whether the healing that he lends to us is quickly or slowly, it will be worth it for us to touch the wings of his garment. So my prayer is that what little bit of faith we might have left, that we will muster that mustard seed faith, and we will run to Jesus. And just before we reach him, we will drop to our knees and crawl through the crowd. Can't you see? People are like, what was that? There's a woman crawling through the crowd, face down, tear-stained face, no doubt. And before the event with him, she's been identified as the daughter of God. I think she left jumping like a calf in June. And that Saturday, which would have been their Sabbath, I just believe she might give testimony down at the synagogue. And you know what? She went from being the most rejected woman in Capernaum to the most rejoiced over woman in Capernaum. Jesus had a way of doing this, especially with women. Do you remember the woman at the well? Outcast came to give her water at noon because all the other women came in the morning. And she was the subject of their conversations. And Jesus gave her living water, sent her back to town. She told her testimony, and it says the whole town came to Jesus. I'm here to report that whatever you have done, whatever you have suffered, Jesus is your only hope of resurrection. And he doesn't just do resurrections, he is the resurrection. And he can turn even our bad reputations into something glorious. told the church on Sunday, without holiness, and holiness has a name, it's Jesus, just like hope. Without Jesus, you would not want me to be your pastor. Because I know a lot about me that you just don't know. But because of Jesus, a wretch like me can be the pastor on Sunday morning. He's no respecter of persons. He even helps pastors. Even pastors. Well, I'd like to leave you with a little blessing tonight. Talik has inspired the wings of the dawn. In Hebrew custom, at the end of every gathering, the rabbi, the priest, whoever was leading the event, and to this day, I'm told that it still happens, what they would do is they would stand before the people, and usually it's a benediction. A benediction, we think, is the close of the service. So that's okay, but that's not the real. If you look at benediction, it probably doesn't say close of the service. It could say that, but that's not the truest meaning of it. Benediction equals blessing. That's what it is. So what would happen is that the rabbi or the priest or whoever's in charge of the service would stand before the people and would lift his hands and split the fingers like Spock. You all know Spock? Star Trek. Now, what you don't know about Leonard Nimoy is he was raised in Jewish schools. He stole this from the rabbis. Isn't that amazing how God's even speaking on Star Trek? All the good stuff came from God. And he would do this. He learned it in those Jewish schools that he went to. It's symbolic of the Shekinah glory of God. The manifest presence of God. That's the symbol. And they would hold their hands together like this. And they would pray the blessing. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, in case you weren't later. It's the benediction of Numbers chapter 6. So if you need a blessing tonight, I mean, if you've got more blessing than you need, then don't worry about it. But if you need blessing tonight, receive it. I'm just here to speak it on behalf of the greatest Jewish man who ever lived. His name is Jesus. And I hope that his Shekinah glory will take over your life and that his manifest presence will bring the healing and wholeness that you have so longed for. Listen, tonight you may be down and dejected and you're wondering, this does not apply to me. Sorry, you're wrong. It applies to everyone. He is no respecter of persons. And probably to the one who feels like they least deserve it, he especially wants you to receive it. Here is the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.